Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, I'm looking for a show that's for you and about you. Those of you who work so hard for your money and you're ready for your money, start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, of course. You want that cash flow. You want that passive income because you love it, right? You want all that stuff because at the end of the day, you want to be able to work because you want to, not because you have to be able to live that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But so much more importantly, it's not just about your own prosperity. It's about creating that ripple effect across this planet through your family and generations beyond you by creating this ripple effect of prosperity, of hope, and of faith. And that's exactly what we're here to do, guys. So thank you for joining us today. Thank you for binging and sharing and doing everything you guys do to make this ripple effect bigger, allowing me to express mine through you. So thank you so much. Quick reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com, for great blogs and other videos that are on there. And of course, if you like videos, go to our YouTube page. Go to the Money Ripples with Chris Miles page. Check that out. Subscribe today. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cash Flow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cash Flow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, guys. So today I've got a special guest here that I've probably been on his show or different aspects of his shows or whatever he's got going on a few times, but definitely someone who's been kind of the rock, like the hardcore, like always there, steady, always paying out, you know, that kind of person. So that's why we got Bill Fairman on today. Now, Bill's with Carolina Capital Management Group. It's primarily they work with things like hard money loans. And that's kind of what we talk about today, because we've talked about different aspects of real estate, but we've never really dived into you becoming the bank. And I'm not talking about like infinite banking, like using life insurance. I'm talking about you actually doing what the bank does and be able to get your money working for you rather than have the bank suck and take your money away and pay you 0.0% in return, you know? So that's what we've got Bill on here today to talk about. So Bill, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Chris. Happy to be on. And by the way, I think you've been on our show maybe 6 or 7 times. It's been awesome.
And I say at least 4 for sure.
I get great comments from our listeners every time you come on too. So I appreciate that. And I love the fellow Ripplers. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely, man. They're the best group around.
You're right. I'm just going to start with this. Mm-hmm. When you are the bank, you are in the least risky position in any transaction. So if you're assuming you're making a loan on a single family home, that is, let's say, short-term loan for a fix and flip purpose. Uh-huh. Well, the person that has all the risk is the person that buys the property, does the fix and flip. They have to deal with contractors. They have to deal with getting permits. They have to deal with changes in the market while the house is being built or rehabbed. And then again, changes in the market while they're waiting for it to be sold. There's just a lot of risk there. So as the bank, you're not loaning 100% of the purchase price. You're loaning less than that. And at the same time, you're also lending even less than what the value would be after the home is completed.
Yeah.
Also, you have to consider, as the bank, you're not dealing with tenants, toilets, trash, maintenance, taxes, but you're still controlling the asset because you have a lien on that property.
That's right.
And it's a great tax strategy if you're using an IRA because obviously you don't get any tax benefits from
lending.
Interest income.
Yeah.
You get zero tax benefits. And that is the benefit of owning property, is the depreciation you can get from it.
Right.
That said, you can easily use an IRA or some sort of tax deferred type of vehicle. For example, infinite banking. You could take that money out of your, or you could borrow that money out of your account and lend that money. Now, granted, the money that you're making off of the loan is not tax free or tax deferred, but at least the money that you're making while it's in that insurance policy, that part of it is still a tax benefit. And, you know, you want to maximize your tax benefits the best you can. Yeah. So we are currently and primarily in single family for one reason. And you were saying that, and I appreciate this, you were saying we were the rock. Some people just say we're boring because rocks tend to grow moss on them.
They've heard me say this on the show many, many times. Boring is sexy. Yeah. So, Bill, you might be one of the sexiest guests we've had on this show.
We stay in single family affordable housing, and we're in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. The reason we do that is because it's the biggest pie, so to speak, biggest slice of the buying pie. You have investors that are interested in buying affordable housing. You have first-time home buyers, and you have empty nesters. Yeah. In any economy, you need two things. You need food and shelter.
Yeah.
And those things provide you with shelter. I mean, you can invest in commercial properties, and some of them are going to do very well. Some of them are going to be very recession resistant, like self-storage and multifamily are very recession resistant. But if you're buying a piece of a strip mall, they might not be as valuable right now.
Right.
Now, that's apt to change. I didn't think warehouse properties were a very good risk until recently.
And right.
With all the e-commerce going on, those things are going through the roof. And think about it. It's not just the new big 3 and 4 story buildings that are the new thing for the e-commerce storage areas, but the little small ones that are a piece of crap.
Yeah.
They're very valuable too, because the people that used to rent those nicer warehouses are being pushed out by the bigger guys that are willing to pay more rent for them. And they still need a place to store stuff. Mm-hmm. And so those that are not right on the interstates, those are a little harder to find. They're, I guess, tertiary, kind of off the beaten path kind of warehouses. Those are really gaining in value too. But
yeah,
we're not talking about warehouses, are we?
No, that's a good point though. It's funny because just last night, my wife and I were talking and she said, she's like, "Whoa, I just had a huge idea." She's doing Amazon training and learning about manufacturing and getting it delivered and the bigger shipping costs happening in the U.S., not from overseas, but when you get to the soil, right? And so they need a good warehouse location to store that Amazon stuff, that inventory, right? So you can ship it out, save on costs and make more money. And you're absolutely right. Like that's the thing that even they were talking about. They're like, "Yeah, we're actually buying a warehouse right now. And we might even let you guys use some of the warehouse too, you know, like some of their coaching clients and stuff." So it's a trending thing.
Another thing to keep an eye on that's trending is the cold storage part of warehousing, because you're having a lot more food stuffs that are being transported and they need a place to keep them cold.
Yeah.
So I think they've changed some rules on changing. This happens a lot where the ships come in, but they have a refrigerated unit. They have to move it from the ship to a truck, and then it hooks up to the truck's generator, powers the refrigerator on there, and then they go. Well, they're not allowed to do that anymore. They have to move it into a cold warehouse, bring the truck in, and then put it on the truck while it's still cold outside too.
That,
again, that doesn't make sense to me, but because these things will operate on their own, they have gas tanks.
Yeah.
But it's just another layer of bureaucracy that will help investors.
Yeah.
You take what they give you.
Yeah. So speaking of it,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say one last thing about this. Yeah. I think Walmart is in a great position for the e-commerce because those giant stores they have make wonderful warehouses, and they're almost in every little town. Whereas Amazon is still trying to put regional warehousing where it can be close to where they need to deliver it.
Yeah.
Walmart already has all that there.
That's true. That's very true. So with the investors that come to you, because I know you get approached from different people wanting money, right? Like why would they go to you versus just going to a bank?
Well, great question. Most people say, why would I pay a higher fee and higher rates when I can just go in here to the bank? Well, you can go in there to the bank and it might be 60 to 90 days before you get any money. we're in a very competitive market. So people come to us for number one, speed, because we can close in 7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
They come to us because we're doing stuff that's outside of the box. In order to get a bank loan to do a fix and flip or a ground up construction, number one, you have to already have been in business for quite some time. You have to have a track record with the bank. Banks are not going to make commercial loans to, heck, they don't like making loans to each other, much less small businesses.
Yeah.
These loans are going to be on the bank's books locally, and they're really worried about loan losses, especially now. They're tightening up even more. But private lenders have a lot more leeway. They're making the decisions themselves. They're not having to go to loan committees. And we're also investors. So we've been doing this for quite some time. We've had our fund for 6 years. We've been in business for more than 10. And Wendy and I, Wendy's my partner and my sister, we have combined more than 50 years in the mortgage industry.
Yeah.
So we know how to judge risk, and we're local. By the way, if you're going to a bank, there's nothing wrong with going to a bank. You should always try and get the cheapest money you can, but you also have to look at the cost of lost opportunity.
Yeah.
And the return on effort. And all you have to do is try and get your house refinanced right now.
Yeah.
To understand the effort that's involved.
Yeah.
They're a lot tighter. We look at things globally, meaning if you have some things that are a distraction from your, let's say credit. Let's say your credit's not great. It still has to be a certain amount, but you have your business partner has great credit. That's going to offset your credit. It might be a little bit lower. You have a lot of money, cash, I mean, in the bank. You have lots of reserves. Yeah. And you're saying, well, if I have cash in the bank and lots of reserves, why the heck would I get a loan? I just do it with cash. Well, again, lost opportunity. If you're using all your cash, then what do you do when things go wrong? You have no plan B because all your money's tied up in the house.
Yep.
If another opportunity comes along while you're in the middle of this project and all your money's tied up into this, you can't take advantage of it. So you've missed out on that opportunity as well. And the last reason is Wendy has done, I mean, personally been involved in at least 500 rehabs. So she's a wonderful resource. As we inspect these properties, as we go along, we can step in and say, look, what you're doing here made sense on paper, but now that we're looking at it, you might want to change this or this because it's not going to sell well when it gets out there. She's also a licensed real estate broker in two states. So she also understands the markets.
Kind of so hedges your bet a little
benefit
bit better.
That a bank's not going to give you.
Yeah. That kind of hedges your bet a little bit better too, especially if you're the one that's lending the money through you guys, right?
Yeah. It doesn't mean everyone listens. we give the advice, but not everyone takes it. I'll give you a quick example. We were starting this. It was a cottage. The kitchen had an island and there was a really nice built-in pantry. And then where the refrigerator goes, first thing Wendy said, you need to move that pantry over to here before you finish everything out. Because that refrigerator, when you open the door, is going to go right into the island.
Yep.
And of course he didn't listen. And then when he put the refrigerator in there, you couldn't even open up the door all the way. So what did he do? He took the refrigerator out and sold it without appliances and just gave a credit for the appliance.
Oh, God.
So once they bought the house, they would find out.
They would figure it out.
Refrigerator that would fit. Anyway, you run into all kinds.
Oh, for sure. Well, and so a lot of our listeners, like some are actually active investors, which is cool, right? By the way, just kind of a side note on that, like you mentioned about the fact that you guys can look at things and get more of a detail than a banker will. That's true. I mean, most bankers just say, check off the boxes and that's it.
Sure.
The other thing I see too, is that bankers love to have you leverage as much of your own cash as you can. Like they don't want to put up their cash anyways, which is why they keep telling you, hey, pay off this loan as fast as possible because they want their money back as quick as possible and that sort of thing. And if you think about how a bank thinks, they're always, I mean, I talk about the five rules of the bank. They want your money as often as possible. They want as much of it as possible. Keep it for as long as possible. Give as little back as possible in interest. And then, pay, of course, take as little risk as possible.
Sure.
And that's exactly what you do on your friend. You have actually help us as the investor become the bank where we're lending the money. But again, we want that money back quickly. We want money coming in often. We want as much of it to come in as we can, to make as much as we can, but take as little risk as we can. And so tell us more like how you do that with your investing. Like if we were to be passive investors with you guys, how would that work?
So there's a couple of ways with us specifically, and I'm sure there's other people that do what we do that offer stuff that's similar. Mm-hmm. But specifically for us, we offer two ways for people to invest. If you're an accredited investor, and I always push people to the fund if you're an accredited investor.
Yeah.
Number one, when you're in a fund, your risk is spread out over many loans.
Right.
When you're purchasing a note or a piece of a note, a fractionalized piece of a note, mm-hmm. you're putting a chunk of change into one asset.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're going to lose money if that thing goes south on you. It just mm-hmm. means you're certainly not making any while you're figuring out what the disposition is going to be. And we work through that. We help it get completed. But the fact is, you're not making any money. And when you're not making any money, you're going backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
when you're in a fund, once you're in the fund, number one, it's always working. And I forgot to mention that on the loan side. Let's say you get a little bit. Let me give you an example. We typically charge between 9% and 11%. Hmm. It's interest only. And if you buy a piece of a note and let's say you're getting 11%, mm-hmm. well, they're short-term loans. They're 6 to 12 months in duration. At the end of the, you know, when the note is matured or they sell the house or refinance the house, your loan's paid off. Mm-hmm. What's your money doing then? Well, it's waiting for the next loan.
Right.
It only takes 2 months not to be invested at 11.5% to end up at 9% annualized.
Right.
So when you're in the fund, while we're in upper single digit returns in our fund annualized, it's always working. It never stops until you take the money out once it's in there. Mm-hmm. Plus you have the extra benefit of, like I said, being spread out over 125, 170 loans at a time.
Yeah.
So the likelihood that there's going to be, and by the way, part of the expenses in a fund is a loan loss reserve. So when you do have to take properties back, that's all part of the expenses that are figured into your return. Mm-hmm. And that money is utilized to make up for any losses that may occur.
Sure.
Funny enough, in the whole hard money industry, it's only about a 2% default rate historically.
That's awesome.
Which you would think a hard money loan is very risky.
Right.
Well, it's more risky than a bank loan, yes. Mm-hmm. But you minimize those risks by lending less money, charging a little higher rate, making sure that the property is in a desirable area. So when you do have to take it back, you can sell it quickly and move on. It's like being an insurance adjuster.
Yeah.
You're just judging risk when you're doing this. Mm-hmm. But a fund is a great tool because, again, you can use an IRA or some kind of tax-deferred vehicle to invest in. You can use a legal entity to invest in. You can invest it as an individual. And then if you're not accredited, it doesn't mean you can't invest. We offer the loans that are in our portfolio for sale to investors to come in and buy a piece of the note. Why would we do that? Well, in our business, we're wanting to turn money over frequently. We want to turn money over at least every 6 months. Why? Because we also charge origination fees. We're not just charging interest.
Right.
And if we can turn the money over at least twice a year, we make, I don't want to say twice as much, but we make twice as much in origination fees than we would if we just held on to the loans and collected the interest. Mm-hmm. So that's a benefit. Also, we typically are doing a little bit more than double or a little bit less than double our fund size in loans every year. And we will get to a point occasionally, and this is one of the bad things about being a fund manager, you're always balancing, I have too much money or I don't have enough money. So when we don't have enough money, we sell off pieces of the portfolio. We still service them because we want to maintain that relationship with our borrowers.
Yeah.
But we need to recapitalize so we can make new loans.
Sure.
That's how we keep the business rolling and constantly going. The last thing you want to ever say to a borrower is, yeah, I'd love to do your loan, but I don't have any money.
Yep.
That doesn't make for a good reputation.
No, it doesn't.
And listen, there's plenty of people out there that want to buy existing notes. There's a huge business out there buying existing notes. You and I know several people. They either do their own financing or they buy a loan that's already matured. They buy scratch and dent notes. There's a booming industry on buying just the paper.
Yeah. And like you said, no toilets, tenants, or trash when you're dealing with that stuff. And that's what banks don't want either.
Yeah, no, they don't want it. That's why typically when you have loans that go delinquent and they assume they're not going to be able to collect, they'll just sell that note to somebody else because they don't want to foreclose. It's too much of a pain.
Yeah.
And so they'll sell that note at a discount and they'll just get out of it. It's also bad publicity for the banks to foreclose on Granny.
Yeah.
Now, we'll never foreclose on Granny unless Granny's a real estate investor.
Unless she deserved it.
See, that's one of the things about our business. We only deal with real estate investors, business purpose loans. So you're never foreclosing on a property that's occupied. No one's living there. So
right.
You feel that's a little better about it when you do have to take it back.
That's awesome, Bill. Well, this is great. I mean, there's so many lessons you can derive from this, but I mean, just the fact you have that opportunity too, whether you're trying to get the money and lend as a real estate investor or someone saying, I want to be the lender, you know, I want to be the bank. And you really taught a lot of the same principles that a bank goes by, but you guys just do it in a way that, well, makes you more money than the bank does, you know, sure. In that sense. Now, if people want to reach out to you guys or learn more, like what's the best way they can contact you?
Well, our website's fairly simple. It's carolinahardmoney.com. Mm-hmm. If you're someone interested in borrowing, now we only lend in the Southeast, but you just hit the apply now button right at the front of the website. If you're interested in passive returns, passive income through being the bank, you just click on the investor tab and, and go from there. We also do a live broadcast every week. As a matter of fact, we do 2 hours of live broadcasting. So I've been told I talk a lot. So this is a great outlet for me. So I can just get on there and bloviate. The name of our show is Passive Income, Active Wealth. And if you go to the website, there'll be links there to our YouTube channel and Facebook page. And I think soon we're going to be on Amazon Prime, which would be awesome. Interesting. I didn't even know they did that stuff on Amazon.
I didn't either. Yeah. They got everything. They're getting a monopoly, man.
Yeah. So we're a lot like you in our show. We promote purely education. No one's trying to sell anything. We're just educating people. And that's really the core to what you and I, Wendy, we're all about, just giving people the best information that we can.
Right.
We're never going to seriously promote anything unless we've done it ourselves with that person.
That's right.
And by the way, we all have battle scars, and that's part of what makes us all wise investors. Now, wait a minute. What was that? Somebody said the wise man is wise because he learns from other people's mistakes.
Right. Exactly.
Get the battle scars from making your own mistakes.
Yep. I know you and I got them both. So that's good, man. All right. Well, yeah, everybody check out carolinahardmoney.com. And we'll even have the show in the notes as well, in the show notes. So check that out, guys. But Bill, again, appreciate your time today. It's been awesome.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
You
have a wonderful day.
You too. Everybody else, hey, make it a wonderful and prosperous week. And remember, it's not just about hearing the word. It's about being a doer of the word. As you take this information and act upon it, that is when your life begins to change, not just when you learn about it. So guys, make sure you take action and make it a wonderful week. See you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.